Shkoyach to Jeremy Berry for coming up with the topic for today's shiur. Wanted a halach l'maisa. Was it Elsant?
Yeah, no.
Okay. Why are you guys coming and giving us some ideas? So yeah, we discussed sleeping in Sukkah last year. We discussed going on trips in Sukkah last year and this year. So now it's time to discuss moving forward in the Yantif, Shmini Atzeres, and whether one is supposed to sit in Sukkah and Shmini Atzeres. So Marmakomas are here. Anyone does know Marmakomas? There's a lot of literature on the topic, a lot of literature in the Achronim. The literature continues to grow on the topic. I don't want to just give a shiur for an hour on trying to justify the Hasidic minhag of not sitting in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. I want to go a little bit further than that in discuss what to do if you're in Eretz Yisrael, if a Ben Eretz Yisrael is here, what about sleeping in the sukkah. I want to discuss several other things as well, but the bulk of the shiur obviously is going to be discussing the actual minhagim of what people do on Shmini Atzeres in the sukkah. And one of the things to be sensitive to is that there aren't two minhagim. There's not the minhag of yes sitting in the sukkah and the minhag of not sitting in the sukkah. There's yes sitting in the sukkah, not sitting in the sukkah, sitting in the sukkah at night but not by day, at day but not by night, making kiddush in the sukkah at night and then going inside and doing the rest of the day, making kiddush and washing, eating kazayas, then going inside and not by day, making kiddush by day in the sukkah but not at night in the sukkah. There are a whole variety of different minhagim, so I want to try to go through as many of them as I actually can to try to come up with some sort of hesber for why people are nohig in different ways. Obviously the primary source is the Gemara Masechta Sukkah, Daf Mem Vav Amud Beis, going over to Daf Mem Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, Amru Yidibrei Rav Shmuel Bashilas Mishmei Derav, source number one, Shmini Safek Shvi'i, when it's Shmini Atzeres in Chutz Laretz, which means it might still be Hoshana Rabbah because of the Sveika Diyoma. We're not sure whether it's already Shmini Atzeres or Hoshana Rabbah, so that's what we call Shmini Atzeres, Shvi'i L'Sukkah Shmini L'Bracha. So it's considered still Hoshana Rabbah in regards to sitting in the Sukkah, meaning you must sit in the Sukkah, but Shmini L'Bracha when it comes to saying Kiddush and Shmona Esrei. So what day do you call it in the brachos of Kiddush and Shmona Esrei and benching? You call it Shmini Atzeres. You don't call it Hoshana Rabbah. But in terms of Sukkah, the Gemara sounds like 100% it's considered Sukkah. And you sit in Sukkah, L'chara, at this point in the Gemara, you make a brecha. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Shmini Lazel Lazer. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, it's Shmini Atzeres. We count it as Shmini Atzeres. We don't count it like Hoshana Rabbah. Just to be clear, the obvious assumption the Gemara works with is the Sukkah's Teshu Shivas Yamin. You sit in Sukkah for 7 days. 7 days end, Hoshana Rabbah. Midar Raisa, Shmini Atzeres. You're not supposed to be sitting in Sukkah anymore when you know that it's for sure Shmini Atzeres, right? But when it might be Hoshana Rabbah still, you have the Sveika Diyoma, so you have this Machlokas that Rav says you sit in Sukkah, and Rabbi Yochanan says, no, treat it like Shmini Atzeres. Then the Gemara explains the Machlokas. The thing is, the Gemara has two ways of explaining the Machlokas. First way of explaining the Machlokas, Meisav Kuli Amalo Pligid Yasvinan. Everyone would hold you sit in Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. The whole issue is, the whole machlokas between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan is, ki pligi levruche. They only argue about whether you make a bracha on yeshiva b'sukkah. L'man di'am r'shvi l'sukkah bruche namim varchinan. If you hold that it's considered the seventh day, it's considered Rosh Hashanah Rabbah. There are extra marmakomos over there, if you could just pass it back. If you hold that it's considered Hoshana Rabbah, you would even make a bracha. If you hold it has a status of Shmini Atzeres, you do not make a bracha. Am Rav Yosef, Nekot Rabbi Yochanan B'yadcha, he says you should follow Rabbi Yochanan, who's the one who said, according to this way of understanding the Machlokas, you sit in Sukkah but don't make a bracha. The Rav Huna Bar Bizna V'Kol Gadol Egdar Iklu B'Sukkah B'Shmini Savik Shvi Mesav Avayasi Bruchei Lo Brichi, because a lot of Gedolim followed that practice. They sat in Sukkah and Shmini Atzeres, but they didn't make a bracha. I fracked the Gemara, how do you know that's why they didn't make a bracha? Maybe they didn't make a bracha because they had already made a bracha on one of the earlier days, and they hold that if you make a bracha once on the first night, that covers you for the rest of the Yantif. Gemara says, no, we know that that wasn't the case. They were coming from a place, Me'efer Kasu, they were coming from a place where they had no sukkah available to them. This was their first sukkah they had available to them, and yet they didn't make a bracha. Must be because they hold Shmini Atzeres. You sit in sukkah, you don't make a bracha. That's one way of understanding the machlokas Rav Rabbi Yochanan. Then the Gemara goes on to say, Amri. It's a whole other way of understanding the machlokas. Again, Rav and Rabbi Yochanan never really said the words explicitly about what you're supposed to do. They just said, is it counted as the seventh day or eighth day? So Rav said, yeah, Shmini Lezeh, it's considered Shvi Lesukah Shmini Lebracha. But he never translated what that means, Shvi Lesukah Shmini Lebracha. Rabbi Yochanan just said, Shmini Lezeh Lezeh. Again, never translating exactly what that means. So the Gemara says, there's another way to understand the Machlokas. Ikadamri, Bruchi Kolyam Lopligid Lama Varchinan. Everyone would agree, whatever you do, you don't make a bracha in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. That's for sure. Ki pligi lemesav. They argue whether you're supposed to sit in sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. Mandi amar shiva l'sukkah mesav yasvinan. According to Rav, that it's considered shvi'i in regards to sukkah, you at least sit in the sukkah. Don't make a bracha, but at least sit in the sukkah. But if you hold it Shmini Atzeres l'zeh l'zeh, it means that you don't even sit in the sukkah. You don't even do that much. You treat it completely like Shmini Atzeres. You don't even go into the sukkah. Amar Rav Yosef, and again, even within the Ikada Amri, we have someone telling us, Nekot Rabbi Yochanan biyadcha. Follow Rabbi Yochanan. That would mean, if you follow the Ikada Amri, what should you do on Shmini Atzeres? On Shmini Atzeres in regards to sukkah? Follow the Ikadamri, you pasken like Rabbi Yochanan, and you sit inside. You don't go in the sukkah at all. Right? Rabbi Yochanan, Shmini Lezeh Lezeh, it's total Shmini Atzeres. If you follow the first Lashon, which also tells you to pasken like Rabbi Yochanan, it would mean you sit in the sukkah, don't make a bracha. So which Lashon do we pasken like? This is it, right? It's all right here. So the Gemara says, hey, you should follow Rabbi Yochanan in either Lashon. Now the Gemara just adds in, importantly, the Gemara says, you know why you should follow Rabbi Yochanan? Is the Demara Deshmaita Mani. Look at who's the one that's quoting this Machlokes. It's Rav Yehuda Beredra of Shmuel Bar Shilas. The Gemara started with Amar Rav Yehuda Beredra of Shmuel Bar Shilas. He's the one that brought the Machlokes to our attention in the first place, and that's significant because we know about his personal practice. Ubishmini Safik Shvi'i Levar Misukka Yasiv. He didn't sit in Sukkah in Shmini Atzeres. So therefore, he must have paskined, he brought the Machlokes to our attention, but he must have paskined like Rabbi Yochanan. Now, according to the Sikada Amri, Rav Yehuda, Bereder of Shmuel Bar Shilas, didn't sit in Sukkah, which would mean that we have such a tradition that he held, the guy who brought the Machlokes to our attention, the Machlokes Rav Rabbi Yochanan, thought that Rabbi Yochanan held not even to sit in the sukkah. Which means that he held, personally, his personal practice, was like the Ikada Amri, not like the first Lashon. It's therefore a little bit strange that the Gemara then concludes, V'hilchasa, Mesav Yasvinan Bruchei Lemavarchinan. You sit in the sukkah, you don't make a bracha. Why? Why would that be the halacha? So there are two ways to understand it. Either the reason that why that's the halacha is because we follow the first Lashon. We think the first presentation of the Machlokas Rav and Rabbi Yochanan is correct. And we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, like the Gemara told us to paskin like Rabbi Yochanan. Therefore, you sit in Sukkah and Shmini Atzeres, but you don't make a bracha. Or, no, the second Lashon is correct. And that's why Rabbi Yehuda Bereder of Shmuel Bar Shilas himself didn't sit in Sukkah at all, because he held like Rabbi Yochanan. But maybe we paskin like Rav. Maybe we're not going to paskin like Rabbi Yochanan. Just because Rabbi Yehuda Bereder of Shmuel Bar Shilas wanted to paskin like Rabbi Yochanan doesn't mean that we have to paskin that way. And the Gemara says, Yesuve Yasvinan, Mesav Yasvinan, Bruch Elam Rachinan, definitely sit in Sukkah, don't make a bracha on the Sukkah. That's as clear as can be. The Gemara comes to a clear conclusion, gives a hilchus at the end, and there's not much room to argue. As Rav Soloveitchik said in one of his shiurim, which his shiurim on this topic happened to be online, he said it's a freak shita to say otherwise, to say that you're not going to sit in the sukkah in Shmini Atzeres. It's a beferish gemara. You can't go against what's a beferish gemara. So, but let's analyze a little bit further. First of all, it's a strange thing to do, to sit in the sukkah without a bracha. Either make a decision. Do you want to sit in the sukkah? Do you not want to sit in the sukkah? If you hold that there's a kiyum mitzvah, even if it's only drabbanon, even if it's only, because of sveika diyoma, we make brachas on sveika diyoma all the time. We daven yantiv tikashmona esrei, and we make kiddush on the second day yantiv. It's also sveika diyoma. We still do it. So we always make brachas on sveika diyoma. Why is it that dafka by this mitzvah, by the mitzvah of yeshiva besukkah, the Gemara says, no, don't make a bracha, sveika diyoma. You don't want to make a bracha on it. So what's holding us back from making the bracha? So it seems that there are three shitos in Rishonim to explain why it is, if we're going to be machmir in the mitzvah, we're still going to be mekel on the bracha. If you look in the Ritva really just expounds on the shitas harif. I didn't put the riff in the marmakomos, but the Ritva is in the marmakomos. The Ritva simply says that if we were to make a bracha on yeshiva basukkah, he says, let's take a look. What are Rabbi Yochanan and Rav really arguing about? So he says, Rabbi Yochanan must hold that even though our forefathers were lo yadi b'kvud yarcha, they didn't know about the calendar, they still sat in the sukkah on Shmini out of a suffik. They sat in the sukkah Shmini at Seres misafik. So he says, Anan lo azlinan b'minag ditu b'ha ki hechi dilo lezalzlu b'shmini shu yamtov minatora. But we know what it really is, and it's really Shmini Atzeres. And therefore, if we sit in sukkah, Rabbi Yochanan held, don't sit in the sukkah, because if we're going to sit in the sukkah, it's going to be a zilzul in the yantif, because we're showing that we're not treating it like it's kodesh. We're treating it like it's still Oshana Rabbah. We're pretending it's still chalamoed, and we're not treating it with its proper kedusha. And Rav says that kivan de below bracha yasfinan ba hamin karamilsa she'ina shvi'i mamish. Rav within the Ikadamri will say, no, as long as you don't make a bracha, everyone will realize that it's not really, you don't really hold that it's still Chol HaMoed. So that's a hecker not to be mezalzel in the Kedushas Yantif. So essentially, what does the Ritva tell you in the Rif? That the reason we sit in the Sukkah without a bracha is because a bracha would be a zilzel to Kedushas Yantif. It's not because of a suffix bracha or anything like that. Like we said, we always make bracha on Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galios. It's a zilzel in the Kedushas Yantif to openly declare with the bracha that you're treating this as a day of Chol HaMoed. If you just sit in the sukkah, so I happen to be sitting in the sukkah, but I'm not openly declaring that it's a day of Chol HaMoed. That is the shita of the Rif and the Ritva. The Michtam also over there in sukkah. So no, a different reason that we don't make the bracha. He says the reason we don't make a bracha is because we just daven Shmona Esrei and we called it Yom Shmini Atzeres Hazeh, and we openly declared that it's Shmini Atzeres. It's a stira to then turn around and say Leishiv Basukkah. Leishiv Basukkah is a Sukkah's din, it's not a Shmini Atzeres din. If you've openly said with your mouth, this is Shmini Atzeres, you then cannot turn around and make a bracha Leishiv Basukkah. Not a zilzel, but it's just a stira. It's a stira mineu bay. But to sit in Sukkah, you're just sitting there, you're sitting outside, nothing wrong sitting outside whenever you want to sit outside, but to openly declare that it's Sukkah, it's not that it's a zilzel, it's just a stira. It makes you look like a liar. Now, which is it? You can't make up your mind. What is it really? The Mordechai has a third approach as to why we don't make the bracha. He says, because if you go ahead and you make the bracha, it's baltosif. It's as if you're adding on to the yantif of sukkahs. You're sitting an extra day in the sukkah. By not making the bracha, you're showing that you're not trying to be mosif onto the mitzvah. That you're not sitting here purely for the mitzvah's sake, and therefore it's not that you're trying to add on to the mitzvah. That's what not saying the bracha saves you. Whichever approach you follow, Tosis asks a fundamental question. And you'll see how all these three approaches could answer this question. Tosis asks, okay, we're not sure if it's Sukkos or if it's not Sukkos anymore. So what do? We still do the mitzvah, just keep away the bracha. We don't do the bracha. Fraktosvos, there's another mitzvah that's associated with the Yantif of Sukkos, besides the mitzvah of Sukkah, and that is, of course, Dalad Minim. So why don't we take the same approach? On Shmini Atzeres, we should take Dalad Minim and not make the bracha on Dalad Minim. It would solve all the problems. Sveka diyama. Maybe it's still a shanarama. So take Dalad Minim and don't make the bracha on Dalad Minim. So Tosos and the Rush, several Rishonim, all answer that that's not an option. Why? Because there's no logical reason that a sane person would ever pick up a palm branch, some myrtle leaves, or I don't even know all the English words for, and a citrus fruit and just shake it around. There's no logical reason other than the mitzvah that you would ever be doing that. But when it comes to sitting outside in a gazebo, that's something that people would do even if it weren't for the mitzvah from time to time. It's not so evident from how you're acting that you're doing this l'shem mitzvah by the sukkah. So by leaving out the bracha, it's enough of a hecker that it makes it look like, who knows, maybe it's not really l'shem mitzvah. And therefore, plug it into whichever one of the three Rishonim you want to plug it into. It's either, according to the Rif and the Ritva, not a zilzul in the Kedushas Yantif. Well, the Michtam is not going to fit as nicely. Or, according to the Mordechai, not a problem of Baltosif. Because it's not evident that you're doing it L'Shem Mitzvah. But you're going to shake Lulav, then it's very evident that you're doing it L'Shem Mitzvah.
According to any Shidas, what are you gaining by being in the Sukkah?
It's Sveka Diyoma, so it might still be, we still treat it like it might be Hoshana Rabbah. It's like keeping Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galios. You should have to observe all the mitzvahs of either day. The only thing is we don't want to be mezalzel in kedushas yantif, or we don't want to look like Baal Tosef, so we adjust it a little bit. But to sit in the sukkah makes a lot of sense.
Don't we have sukkahs now and not in Nisan, because now is Dafka time that's not, doesn't look, you're only doing it in the Torah mitzvah?
So what I assume that means, and the Torah quotes that from the Medrash, that the whole idea of building the sukkah as the fall season starts, in this hemisphere at least, that is to show that this is not a normal thing, and we're doing it Dafka L'Shei Mitzvah, that's to build the sukkah. I mean, you don't go out and build your gazebo at the end of the summer, even though it's still nice weather out. You would go out and build your gazebo at the beginning of the summer, so you'll have it all summer. But in terms of actually using it, once it's there, so it's already been built. Now it's there. Should I use it? So I would still use it through September and October sometimes if it's still nice outside. So I think that's the idea that Tosfos is trying to say. Now, based on that, very critical, Karban Asano, one of the most, I would imagine the most famous Karban Asanal in Shas, I would have to imagine. I can't imagine that there's a Karban Asanal that's more famous than this. It says the Karban Asanal in source number 7, therefore, what's the whole reason we don't do Dalad Minim is because it's so obvious that we're only doing it L'Shei Mitzvah, and that would be a Zilzal in the Yantif. So what if it were cold outside, and no sane person would be eating outside in their gazebo on such a day? So he says, Amnam imba oso yom es tzina oruchos, o shum shinoy avir. If it's cold or windy or any real change in the temperature, then you shouldn't sit in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. Because the whole reason we sit in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres is because it's not so obvious that we're doing it L'Shei Mitzvah, and therefore it's not going to be a zilzal to the Yantif. Because it's not so obvious we're doing it L'Shei Mitzvah. But guess what? If it's freezing outside, then it's obvious that you're doing it L'Shei Mitzvah. And then it should go back to have a din like Dalad Minim, where you don't take Talmud Minim, you shouldn't sit in the sukkah under such circumstances. That's Karban Asanal. Now, one could have argued that that's not the logical conclusion to draw from Tosfos and from the Rush. One could have said, no, Tosfos and the Rush are telling us that the reason they weren't misaking to take Talmud Minim is because Talmud Minim is never something a normal person would do absent a mitzvah. Whereas sukkah is something a normal person would do all the time, and that's why they were misakin, you do sit in sukkah and Shmini Atzeres. But once they were misakin it, it's a little plug. They're misakin, you sit in sukkah and Shmini Atzeres, you sit in sukkah. They're misakin, you don't take dalim, you don't take. It's not a case-by-case basis. One could have argued. Karban Asanal says, not true. It is on a case-by-case basis. We look at the situation. Is it a normal thing for a person to do or not a normal thing for a person to do? If it's a normal thing for a person to do, even absent the mitzvah, then you should do it. If it's not, then you shouldn't do it. That's Karban Asanal. Yeah.
Why aren't the rishon and Mordechai, are they bothered by us doing Shmoneh Esrei and making like kiddush for things that are against the normal?
No, because most of the time our chumrah is to treat it like a yantif when it might really be chol. There's no such thing as a zilzal in chol. This is the only example where you have something that's a zilzal in the yantif by being machmir and sitting in sukkah, which is a Hoshana Rabbadin, you're being mezalzel in Shmini Atzeres, which is a yantif. So that's why it's that's why this case is different. Halach lemaisa, what are we passing about sitting in sukkah in Shmini Atzeres? So if you look in the Rambam, source number 11, Biyom Hashmini Shu Yomtov Rishon Shal Shmini Atzeres Yoshrin Ba Vein Mevarchin Leishu B'Sukkah. As expected, Paskins directly like the Gemara. You sit in sukkah, you don't make the bracha. Shulchan Aruch also, source number 14, Tafresh Samaches Sif Aleph B'Chutz La'aretz Ochlim B'Sukkah B'Layla U'Bayom. Just to be clear, sin and sukkah, night meal and the day meal, he says, the whole time, because it still might be a Hoshana Rabba. Sorry? We'll get to sleeping soon. What? What would you say about sleeping? So yeah, sleeping you could take two sides. First of all, people go camping all the time, so maybe it is something that's normal to do, and if it's something that's fairly normal to do, so maybe you should do it. But on the other side, the Gemara was makbid, don't make a bracha, because you need that to save you from the appearance of Baal Tosef, from the appearance of Zilzul Yantif, from whatever it was, all those three shitos, right, from the appearance of the stira. Well, by sleeping, there's no bracha anyway, so. Is that going to save you from the appearance of Baal Tosef? Is it going to save you from the appearance of Zilzal Yantif if there's no bracha? So Yesh Ladan, there's what to talk about over there. Is it that the Zilzal is created by the bracha? Or is it that the Zilzal is that you're doing the mitzvah the same way you did it the other 7 days? That when you sit in sukkah with the bracha on Shmini Atzer, if you were to make a bracha on Shmini Atzer, that's the same thing you did for the last 7 days. And that's the Zilzal. In which case, by sleeping in sukkah, even without a bracha, it would be a zilzal. Because it's the same thing you did for the last 7 days. Or maybe no. Maybe it's not that the zilzal is you're doing the same thing you did the last 7 days. The zilzal is you're actively making a bracha. So by making a bracha, you're proclaiming that this is not Shmini Atzeres. And by sleeping, where you're not. So we'll get to that. There's a machlokas rishonim about that. It's a major machlokas rishonim. There's no machlokas rishonim here, though. In terms of sitting in sukkah, it's pashut, no machlokas rishonim. You sit in sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. It's the psak of the Gemara. Seems very black and white. Yeah.
The Mordechai's answer, shouldn't that apply to every single yontif or any sukkah yom? Once you're taking it out of the din of zilzal of yontif, since near kabbal tosif.
Yeah, you would need a mitzvah though. Where's the mitzvah? Meaning, where's the mitzvah that you're being mosif on? Find another example where you're actually being mosif an extra day of a mitzvah.
Seder, I don't know, doing the seder twice.
By achilas matzah, what's the mitzvah? The mitzvah is achilas matzah. Okay. So it's not bal tosif to eat matzah the rest of yontif either. It's a kiyum mitzvah. Right, so it's just the bracha of the sfeika diyama, right? But it's not going to be baltosif. So la halacha, it seems very clear in Shulchan Aruch, obviously. Now, the tour quotes that some people mistakenly don't sit in the sukkah at night. He says, tell us who be Adam, it's eino minag. He says that there are some people don't sit in the sukkah at night, but eino minag. It's not a correct minag. And he says, there are a lot of people, the Magen Avraham and Tafresh Samach Chesiv Katan Beis, says in our Medinos, there are people that are knowing this way, even though the Torah says that it's not a minag. He says, I understand why they do it, because they think that if they're going to say on the night of Shmini Atzeres, in the Kiddush, they're going to declare that it's Shmini Atzeres, that it's a direct stira with then sitting in sukkah, to say in the Kiddush, and daytime Kiddush just borrow Piyar Gafen anyway, so it's not a stira. But at nighttime, they don't want to sit in sukkah because they think it's a stira to their Kiddush. Magen Avraham says, yeah, but anyway, it's a stira to your davening, so it won't help. Meaning, whatever you're gonna sitting in sukkah is as much a stira to your davening as it is a stira to your kiddush at night. So he doesn't think that minhag is a valid minhag, and he says hadin imatur k'mosh kasa rav beis Yosef tare stama amru b'gemara v'hilchsa meisav yasvina. Magen Avraham says it says in the Gemara you sit in the sukkah, so you sit in the sukkah to come up with etzas and chachmas about why we don't sit in the sukkah. He says that's a little bit strange. It says in the Gemara, so we follow what it says in the Gemara. Not only that, he says, if a suda were to come up Ben HaShemashos toward the end of Shmini Atzeres, when it's Ben HaShemashos, you'd have to eat that in the sukkah also. Even that you would have to eat in the sukkah. Fine. So the halacha seems very clear. The problem is, there are many, many Jews that don't sit in the sukkah in Shmini Atzeres. So where does that come from? So I asked Rav Schachter about it. I spoke to Rav Schachter about this a couple of times, and he once told me that the Satmar Rebbe, if you look in the Hanhagos, so the Satmar Rebbe, they write up his different Hanhagos. So the Satmar Rebbe, Zichron Levracha, he used to, when he was in Europe, he didn't sit in the sukkah. Then when he came to America, he started sitting in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. So you don't become more of a Hasidish Rebbe than the Satmar Rebbe. Nevertheless, he sat in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres when he came to America. Why? So Rav Schachter said, the way the story went was that when he was in Europe, he didn't sit in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres because that was the Hasidic Minag, and that was his Masorah, that's what he always taught. And he always heard that there was a Sefer that gives a justification for the Minag. He had never seen the Sefer, he didn't own a copy of it, but he trusted the Sefer was written by a Talmud Chacham, and he had heard that there's a Yishuv for the Minag that's out there, he just hadn't seen it. So he didn't sit in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. Then he came to America, and he was visiting by the Boston Rebbe once, and the Boston Rebbe had the Sefer out on his table in the sukkah. So the Satmar Rebbe said to the Boston Rebbe, can I borrow the Sefer? And the way Rav Schachter tells the story, it's a little strange. The Boston Rebbe said, no, because you're such a giving person that you're going to take it and give it away to someone else. I don't trust that I'm ever going to get it back if you borrow it. So you could sit and read it here. So the Satmar Rebbe sat and read it there. And sure enough, it had an explanation of the Hasidish Minhag. Rav Schachter didn't say what the explanation was in that Sefer. Satmar Rebbe was not satisfied with the explanation. He said, this is not a good explanation. So he decided he's going to start sitting in sukkah. That's the story of the Satmar Rebbe. But that's the Satmar Rebbe. There are tons and tons of Hasidish Rebbes, big tzaddikim, big talmid chachamim, did not sit in sukkah in Shmini Atzeres. And many of their Hasidim nowadays, even people who are not Hasidim, just because it's easier to not sit in sukkah in Shmini Atzeres, so everyone becomes a little Hasidish. Another thing the Rav used to say, Rav Schachter pointed out, the Rav used to always say that, look, you're going to follow your family minhag to not sit in the sukkah in Shmini Atzeres, you better not be eating gebraks on Pesach. Meaning, if you're going to follow all these Chassidish Minhagim, so you at least better be consistent that you're going to follow the Chassidish Minhagim, correct or incorrect. But anyway, what are the explanations? So the worst explanation out there is in a Chassidish Sefer that I had never heard of before, but I saw it quoted by some of the other Sfarim, a Sefer called Eser Oros, where it explains that the Baal Shem Tov didn't sit in Sukkah because he was Mekadesh Atzmo B'Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. I don't think I was blessed with the kelim to understand what that means. So he was Mekadesh Atzmo B'Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. So since he was walking around with Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, wherever he went, that was Eretz Yisrael, and therefore he didn't have to sit in Sukkah. Mestama, he took Chumas Maestros and everything else, wherever he went. I don't know, but that he was Mekadesh Atzmo B'Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, whatever that means. So this raises a major question, and this is a bit of a side topic, but when you see an Adam Gadol and a Tzaddik, someone who's known as an Adam Gadol and Tzaddik, and he does something that's blatantly wrong, directly against the Gemara, so what do you do with that? What do you do when an Adam Gadol and Tzaddik either tells you something, or says something, or does something directly against the Gemara? So I was able to think of two instances in Tshuva Svarim where you have such cases, but they're both on extremes, and neither of them exactly, one falls a little to the right of this, one falls a little to the left of this. You'll see what I mean. One example is, Rabbi Yehuda was asked about the Tzava of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid left the Tzava. Tzava is an ethical will, where he said, here are certain rules for what you can and can't do. And in the Tzava, there were a lot of things that were directly against the Gemara, meaning who you can't marry. He would say, don't marry your brother's daughter, even though the Gemara says it's recommended that you marry your brother's daughter. There were a lot of things in the Tzava. Two brothers shouldn't marry two sisters. In the Gemara, it says that Gedolei Olam had two brothers, Rabbi Chiya's children. Two brothers married two sisters. It's all over the place that they did this. It's explicit in the Gemara. So what do you do? So one of the things it says in the Tzava of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid is you shouldn't marry a girl who has the same name as your mother, and a girl shouldn't marry a guy who has the same name as her father. So someone has to know Rabbi Yehuda, should I be mevatel the shidduch because of this? They suggested to me a girl where the name is the same name as the mother. So otherwise, or the girl asked that they suggested a guy the same name as my father. Otherwise, he's a ben Torah and a wonderful guy. But what should I do? So Rabbi Yehuda starts by saying, first of all, you should know my rule is I don't answer such shailas. I deal with shas and poskim. I don't deal with these kinds of things. But because I love you very much, I'll answer the question. This became one of the more famous tshuvas of the Rabbi Yehuda. He was a very staunch misnagid, the Rabbi Yehuda. So he says, okay, so I'll deal with this question. So he says, what do you do when you find Chachmei Yisrael that are muchzuk b'toru b'yira b'li safek, where they write in their sefer something that's against the Talmud? So he says, no one's allowed to argue with the Gemara. No one's allowed to argue with the Gemara. No one has such a right. And he gives all these examples where Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid goes against the Gemara. So he says, no one's allowed, it's just, you can't be Makabal. You can't be Makabal anything that it says against the Gemara. No one after the Gemara has any right to argue. But he says, you should know, he's not really arguing with the Gemara. He says, Ha'emes Yoradarko, ki HaChassid Lezaru Achrav Tziva Ledore Doros. Now, what he was really doing is he was just telling his children what they should do. It was for his family. And he saw that although the Gemara says certain shiduchim will be matzliach, he understood that the kochos hanefesh within his own family, those kinds of shiduchim are not going to be matzliach. But chas v'shalom, if he were to issue something like this for all of Klal Yisrael, you wouldn't be allowed to listen to anything he says. He would be a kofar. That would be someone who goes against what it says in the Gemara would have to be treated like a kofar. That would not be accepted. So he says, and then the Rebbe adds a little bit of musra at the end. He says, you know what else the Gemara says? The Gemara says when you find a shidduch for your daughter, you should marry your daughter off to a bas tamil chacham, to a tamil chacham rather. And when you find a girl, you should marry a bas tamil chacham. That it says in the Gemara. And the Gemara says that if you marry your daughter off to someone who's not a tamil chacham, it's like you're throwing her to the lions. He says, and I've yet to have one person come to me and ask me the shayla, what should I do? Is it okay? Should I shtar the shidduch because the guy's not a Talmud Chacham? The names everyone's worried about. But Talmud, what it says in the Gemara, he says that no one asked me shaylas about that. So that's number one. So the first thing what you see the Rebbe tries to do is when you have someone that goes against the Gemara, so he says, it's wrong to go against the Gemara. You try to be metarit why it's not really against the Gemara. Why maybe he wasn't saying it for all the Klal Yisrael, it was only for himself. Which the Chora, in this Chassidus Sefer, the Baal Shem Tov, Mekadesh Atzmo B'Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, Magen Mimezrich, his Talmud, did sin in Sukkah and Shemini Atzeres, is the tradition that we have. So, apparently, so you could say, okay, it was only for himself, for whatever reason. Only thing is different. Over here, it's not an Avera to marry someone who's not from your family. meaning it is an averit outside the sukkah when you have a chiv in sukkah. So it's not at all really exactly the same case. Now, in the Sanz Rebbe in Divrei Chaim, he thinks that Rabbi Yehuda was way too harsh on Rabbi Yehuda al-Chassid. He says be'emes ein lahakshos midivrei gemara alav. You can't ask from the gemara on Rabbi Yehuda al-Chassid. He says, I'll give you an example. The gemara in Yevamah says that really mitzvahs yibum is kodem lemitzvahs chalitza. If you have a choice to do yibum or chalitza, really yibum is the better thing to do. But what does the gemara say? No one does it l'shem shemayim anymore, and therefore you can't do yibum anymore. So we do chalitza instead. So says the Divrei Chaim, what's so hard to understand? Rabbi Yehuda al-Chassid understands that yes, me'ikra didn't really marrying your brother's daughter, two brothers marrying two sisters, it's really best. It's really the best. But people aren't doing it l'shem shemayim anymore. Maybe that's what Rabbi Yehuda al-Chassid saw. He just took his cue from the Gemara in Yevamos. Just like people don't do yibum l'shem shemayim, and therefore they stop doing it, even though that was the preferred thing to do. So too with these types of shiduchim. People aren't doing l'shem shemayim anymore, so they stop doing it. That's how the Divrei Chaim says. Rav Vadya, Netshuva, and Yabiyah Omer, Chelek Beis of Nezer Siman Zayin, doesn't buy it from the Divrei Chaim. He says, well, how can you compare this to Yibum? It's got nothing to do with the situation of Yibum. Yibum, if you don't do l'shem mitzvah, so what's the problem? What were Chazal worried about? If you do Yibum shelo l'shem mitzvah, it's an issuta oraisa of Eishes Achid. To marry your brother's wife, when it's not l'shem mitzvah, is an issur d'orais, it's an issur kares. That's why Chazal were so concerned when it's not done l'shem mitzvah, you better not do it at all, and we better do chalitza. So when you marry your brother's daughter, not l'shem mitzvah, you're marrying her because of whatever, for whatever ulterior motives you have, that's not an issur kares. There's no issur. The relationship is a totally mutter relationship. So he says, Rav Adya says, I don't buy it. He doesn't buy the Divrei Chaim's defense. But again, that's one approach. One approach is to try to say, okay, we know they're a tzaddik, we know they're a chassid, we have to make sure that we believe that they said it, we're going to accept that they said it, but we have to come up with a way that they're not, whatever they said is not really against the Gemara. Another example, there's a famous tshuva of Rav Moshe also relating to Rabbi Yehuda al-Chassid, but not about the tzava of Rabbi Yehuda al-Chassid. Several years ago, 30, 40 years ago, they found Kisvei Yad that the scholars identified as none other than the writings of Rabbi Yehuda al-Chassid, Chidush Manchumish, Chidush Rabbi Yehuda al-Chassid Manchumish. And they were able to compare it to other documents that they were very confident, you know, based on modern scholarship, that this was definitely the writings of Rabbi Yehuda al-Chassid. The only thing is there were a few problems with it. Like on the Pesukim by Ibn Sa'aron with the Nun and Hafuchin, where it has the upside down Nuns, it says that David HaMelech wrote that part of the Torah, and that wasn't really given to Moshe Rabbeinu and Har Sinai. That's how they explain the Nun and Hafuchin. It was just the brackets are like added in later, you know, this was just added in as a later addition to the Torah, which, as Rav Moshe correctly points out, is out and out blatant apikorsis. Right, the way we passing that is 100% apikorsis. So what do? You're pretty sure Rabbi Yehuda al-Chassid wrote it. You're pretty sure Rabbi Yehuda al-Chassid was an Adam Gadol. And it's blatant apikorsis. So Rav Moshe, they asked several Gadolim. The Gadol Eretz Yisrael said, take out the stuff that's apikorsis, publish the rest of the book. Rav Moshe said, listen, Rabbi Yehuda al-Chassid didn't write those lines. Obviously what happened is, someone got a hold of Rabbi Yehuda al-Chassid's writings, and was an apikorsis and wanted to be able to sell apikorsis and to spread his erroneous beliefs. So what did he do? He's not going to just, it's like when the missionaries, they don't just sell you a book that says missionary, you know, whatever, you know, the Jews, J for J, they sell you a book that says 10 great Jews. Just sent out in the mail a few weeks ago, all the people, 10 great Jews, and you start reading it, it's like, oh, and then they were hiding them, and Jesus saved them, and then like you're like, okay, when's he going to do tshuva? You know, and then you realize, no, that's the end of the story. Meaning, there it's a missionary book. It's just in the guise of legitimate Torah Judaism, right? So that's what must have happened over here. Moshe says someone got a hold of the manuscript, added in all the stuff that's clearly against Torah Judaism, in the guise and sold it in the guise of Torah Judaism. So Moshe says, yeah, you found a couple of places where there's apikorsis in it. Did you find every place? Can you know if you found every place? Maybe there's a little hint here and there. You're never going to know for sure. Burn the whole thing. Destroy the whole thing. Get rid of the whole thing. That was Rav Moshe's opinion. So again, dealing with the situation, a known Adam Gadol does something that's clearly wrong or says something that's clearly wrong. So Rav Moshe's approach was denial. He couldn't have said it. Right? He couldn't have done it. Problem is, that can't work over here either. First of all, it's not epi courses over here. It's just an issue of being mevatel mitzvah. Being mevatel the mitzvah of sitting in sukkah, plus we can't deny it. We have, you know, it's all over the place. You know, Go to Williamsburg, go to Borough Park, go to Bnei Brak. You'll find Hasidic Rebbes are sitting in, go to Meir Shom, you'll see this. They're not sitting in Sukkah. It's not something that you could easily deny. So what is the approach? So there are several approaches to answer this minhag. The first approach is what I said to you before already, the Kav Nisanel. What did Kav Nisanel say? If you hold like Tosfos and the Rush, that the whole idea of why we don't make a bracha is because we can't do anything that's obvious that it's being done l'shem mitzvah, because that's going to be a zilzal in the yantif. Well, then the Kav Nisanel says if it's cold outside, it's also obvious that it's not being done l'shem mitzvah, and it would be a zilzal in the yantif. Then you should treat it like dalad minim and not do it at all. So if it's taka cold outside, where it would be obvious that no one would go outside and hang out outside on such a day, so then you wouldn't sit in sukkah. So it could be that that's one yishuv. In Europe, it was freezing cold on Shmini Atzeres, so they didn't sit in sukkah. Ah, you'll ask, well, then why did they sit in sukkah the other 7 days? It was mitzvah, patur min sukkah, it was freezing cold. So what you have to say is that the line for how cold it has to be is different for the rest of sukkahs than it is for Shmini Atzeres. For the rest of sukkahs, it has to be cold enough that it causes you tsar. For Shmini Atzeres, it only has to be cold enough that it's not normal to go have your lunch outside, which is a much different temperature, right? To cause you tsar, if it's 40 degrees, it will cause you tsar. 55 degrees, probably not going to cause you tsar. 50 degrees, probably not going to cause you tsar. You just put on a sweater. But if it's 50 degrees, is it normal to go outside and have your meal outside, to have a picnic in 50 degree weather? That's not normal at all. So then maybe that's probably the best yishuv for the minhag. The problem with that as a yishuv for the minhag is that by definition the Kav Nisanel says case by case basis. You have to look, check the weather report, see what it's like outside. And if itaka is a decently warm day, you wouldn't have that heter. And then everyone should have to sit in the sukkah. So in terms of lamdas and halacha, it certainly fits as the best heter that exists. In terms of practically to explain what people actually do, it doesn't really do that because people actually sit inside even when it's 70 degrees and sunny. So that's number one. Also, Rav Sturmbach points out in Mo'adim Uzmanim, it's hard to accept that heter because all the Balei Atosos lived in very cold climates and they sat in Sukkah and Shmini Atzeres. None of the Rishonim ever mentioned, I shouldn't say none of the Rishonim, some Rishonim did mention the idea on some level we'll get to later. What the Rishonim did not mention, for the most part, with one exception, is to not sit in Sukkah at all. But a lot of them mentioned, you know, don't sit at night, don't sit during the day, you know, to do different compromises. But it's, the Balei Atosos never thought of this idea of not sitting in the Sukkah, and they lived in very cold climates. A second yishuv for the minhag, I'm not counting the yishuv for the minhag that the Baal Shem Tov is Mekadesh Atzmo, because it's Eretz Yisrael, that's not a yishuv for the minhag. I'm counting those that are miyashiv the minhag of all Hasidim nowadays. So the first one is Kav Nisanel. Second one, Rav Sturmbach writes, based on the Gemara Sukkah Daf Chavav, Gemara Sukkah Daf Chavav says that some Talmidim were traveling to go visit the Rebbe, and they sat and they slept they slept by the riverbanks. So the Gemara says, how were they able to do that, sleep by the riverbanks? They weren't sleeping in the Sukkah. The Gemara said, Shluchei Mitzvah Ananu Patrinun. We're Shluchei Mitzvah, we're on the way to go visit the Rebbe, and since we're all sick in the Mitzvah of going to visit the Rebbe, we're Pata from Sukkah. So says Rav Sturmbach, people who are going to visit the Hasidic Rebbe on, who's their Rebbe on Yantif, so they're going for their for the Tish, for the Farbrengen, whatever it is, so that's Shluchei Mitzvah. So they're Pater from Sukkah. That's why they're all Pater. Rav Shechter just added a slight twist to that, and he said, not just that they're Osik in the Mitzvah, it's that so many Hasidim come on Shmini Atzeres that it's packed, it's jam-packed, and they can't make a Sukkah that could comfortably accommodate all those Hasidim that come. So then it becomes Mitztayer. Everyone's there, they're trying to squeeze into the Sukkah, it's Mitztayer, there's not enough room for them. So that's how it got to that they sat outside the Sukkah. The problem with this mode of Yishuv for the Minhag is that it explains why when you went to visit the Rebbe at the Tish, that you didn't have to sit in the Sukkah. It does not explain why a typical family in the five towns doesn't sit in their Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. Right? So it wouldn't really be Yishuv for the Minhag. Both the way of Sturmbach and of Shechter write it is Nishtarve Vadavar, things got confused and people just got used to the idea that back by the Rebbe, they didn't sit in the Sukkah, so they assume they don't have to do it anymore at all. But that's not really true. The most notable yishuv for the minhag, in terms of it would really be miyashiv everything if it were true, is the Yechusei Tanaim V'Amoraim. In source number 23, Yechusei Tanaim V'Amoraim says, that in a lot of times in Talmud Bavli, and Rishonim say this on different sugyas, a lot of times in Talmud Bavli there are additions from Gaonim in the Gemara. We have Tosfos at the beginning of Ksuvus about Rav Acha. Is it the same as Rav Achai? Is it the same as Rav Achai Gon, or is it a different Rav Achai? The fact that you can even entertain that it might be Rav Achai Gon and not some Amora Rav Achai tells you that there are lines in the Gemara that were added in by the Gaonim. If the Gemara is in the beginning of Masechet Gittin, I think, that the Ramban says are like a whole Lamed of Gemara was added in the times of the Gaonim and was not from the Talmud Bavli. It's a very academic way of learning Gemara to go look back and say, well, was this really from Amorai? Maybe this was from the Rabban and Savarai. Yechusei Tanan V'Amorayim says that last line of the Gemara, V'Hilchus Amesav Yasvin and Bruch Elovim V'Rachinan, that was from the Rabban Savarai, that was from the Gaonin, that was from a later time period. That was after the Chasimus HaTalmud. It's not really a Gemara. What the Gemara says is that there are two Lashonos. There's a Lashna Kama and an Ikata Amri. That last line that seems to pass in the Halacha, that's later. So what do you have when you have a Lashna Kama and an Ikata Amri? Generally, the rule is you follow the Ikata Amri. The Ikata Amri tells us passing like Rabbi Yochanan, and what does that tell you? To not sin in Sukkah, sin inside. So he said, that's how we would paskin. Very academic way of learning Gemara. If we were to adjust halachos based on this style of learning, we would adjust a lot of Shulchan Aruch. So it's not really our way in paskin halachos. We assume that for whatever reason, Hashkacha allowed it, that made it into Talmud Bavli. Rishonim paskined what they paskined. Shulchan Aruch paskined what he paskined. And we follow the psak of the Rishonim and the Shulchan Aruch. So even if all the Rishonim didn't realize that this was snuck in by a later generation, for whatever reason, they paskin what they paskin, then we follow the psak and the shulchan. But that would really be miyash of everything. We just say we don't paskin that way. Svasemis also has a creative reading of the Gemara. Svasemis says when it says mesav yasvinan, it doesn't mean you're chayiv to sin in sukkah. It means you're permitted to sin in sukkah. That it's not baltosin. That don't worry, as long as Bruch Elam V'Rachinan, as long as you don't make the bracha, then don't worry, you're allowed to be Mesav Yasvinan. That's why Semes has several diukim, and we're not going to have a chance to go through everything, but he has several diukim in the Gemara to try to prove that that's what it means, that it's a reshus, that you're permitted to sin in Sukkah, but not that you're chayiv to sin in Sukkah. So if you sin in Sukkah and you want to invite someone over who doesn't sin in Sukkah, they're allowed to accept your invitation, even according to, at the very least, it's permissible to sin in Sukkah. Yeah. So that's the question. It might be, well, without a bracha, meaning that's what he's saying, that since it's without a bracha, that's what the Gemara is saying, that because Bruch Elom Avrachinam, that's why Mesav Yasvinim. Baltosiv. If you're doing it L'Shem Mitzvah, it would be an issue of Baltosiv. Right? Now, what about the minhag to only sit at night and not sit during the day? So I'm going to try to go through some of these quickly. The Beis Yosef says, like we said before, since you say Zman Belaila in the Kiddush, the sitting in the Sukkah is a stira to the Kiddush you just said. We pointed out Magen Avraham doesn't buy it. Magen Avraham says, yeah, and your davening is a stira to sitting in the Sukkah during the day. So that shouldn't explain why only night, not day. The Bach writes, no, the reason why you don't sit in the Sukkah at night, why some don't sit in the Sukkah at night and only during the day, is in order to make it not look like Baal Tosef, you need a clear break between the Chiyuv of sitting in Sukkah and that which you're doing Michumra, that which you're doing Misfeka Diyoma. The way they do that is by having one meal in between where you're not in the Sukkah, and that will make a clear break. The Bach also says, if you eat early on Shmini Atzeres at night, let's say you don't have a speaker in the shul for 40 minutes between Minchah Ma'ariv, and you get home early, and you start eating early, then you might actually... Then you might actually be chayiv in a bracha in the sukkah. So what do? We send you inside the house where we know you're going to make sure, be careful not to eat early so that you don't end up in the sukkah and end up sitting there and eating there without a bracha. Bach points out that that's totally incorrect also for obvious reasons. Meaning, if you're eating early, what are you talking about? Then you shouldn't be in the house at all. Then you got to be in the sukkah. What's the whole discussion? It's a very, very strange yishuv for the minhag. Pashut yishuv for the minhag, and this is found in Rishonim already. Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz writes, similar to the Karban HaSanal we said before, that if it's cold outside, then you wouldn't sit in the sukkah because it's not recognizable, you're not doing the L'Shem Mitzvah. When is it colder, at night or by day? Typically, nighttime is colder. So they didn't sit in the sukkah at night because you don't have sukkah so areva olav. You don't have that idea that the sukkah is just, you're doing it because it's pleasant. Since you don't have that heter of sukkah so areva olav, that's why they sat in the sukkah during the daytime, but not at nighttime. There is a diuk that some wanted to make in Rashi. That's a fifth possible yishuv for this minhag. If you look in Rashi, in Sukkah Daf Mem Ches Amud Aleph, source number 28, so Rashi writes, Halan lebnei bavel shashmini shalom savik shvi. So when it's shmini atzeres, delokimlu bekviyad yarcha, but it still might be Hoshana Rabbah because we don't know. Madlik ba'asener, you light a candle in the sukkah. V'lo yivchasen aviv salena, but don't ruin your sukkah. Rashi says on shmini savik shvi, lefishet sarich leishev ba, because you still need to sit in the sukkah machar. Meaning he's talking about on Hoshana Rabbah rather. On Hoshana Rabbah, don't ruin your sukkah on Hoshana Rabbah when you leave after the second meal on Hoshana Rabbah, because you still need to sit in the sukkah machar. What does the word machar mean? Tomorrow. What should he have said? If it's Hoshana Rabbah, you still need to sit in the sukkah tonight. Tonight, the night of Shemini Atzeres. So some want to be Medayik and Rashi. Ah! You already see in Rashi a source for this minhag to not sit in the sukkah at night, but to yes, sit in the sukkah during the daytime. Says Rav Yosef Engel in Gilyon HaShas, just to let you, in case you might not be clear on what he thinks about people who make this diuk in Rashi, he says right at the very beginning, Shamati Misha'enam B'nai Torah, I found people who don't know how to learn, that said, Shatolin B'divar Rashi Elam in Hagama Garua, that use this Rashi to justify their horrible minhag, shalolech alol shmini atzeres b'sukkah, not to sit in the sukkah on the night of shmini atzeres, rak v'yoma, only during the daytime. And in case you couldn't tell from the way he quoted it what he thinks about it, he tells you, v'hu bur, it's burus, it's amaratzus, demachar, haynu kol yom machar, v'gam leila b'chlal. It says, if you know to speak Hebrew, machar doesn't mean just the next day, it means that night also, it means the next calendar day. It doesn't only mean the next morning. And then he goes through a couple of rayas that it actually means the next calendar day, and he says, no, that's by nedarim, lashem b'nei adam, and he takes you on a little tour through Shas. But he's sure that it's pure amaratzis. It's pure, it's ridiculous to make such a diuk. And Rashi never meant it, Rashi never said it. Fine, that's that minhag. What about the minhag to only sit in the sukkah? Sorry, what did I just explain? That was the minhag to only sit by day. I got confused with the minhag. I put things in the wrong place. Okay, what about the minhag to only sit in the sukkah at night and not to sit in the sukkah? Not to sit in the sukkah by day. So that's the Taz quotes. It's a typo on the sheet. I see over there it should say explanation of the minhag to sit only by night and not by day. So the Taz quotes from Medrash Tanchuma that you can't sit in the sukkah during the daytime because you just daven for Geshem. So how could you daven for Geshem and then go to your sukkah? Did you really mean it? Do you want rain or do you not want rain? If you go into the sukkah, you didn't really want rain. So the difficulty with this is that, first of all, it's a medrash against the Gemara. We were probably passing like the Gemara anyway. Second of all, where are you davening for rain? You're not davening for rain in the five towns. You're davening that it should rain in Eretz Yisrael. And guess what? In Eretz Yisrael, no one's sitting in the sukkah. So it's fine. In Eretz Yisrael, there's no sfeika diyoma. So the whole, it's a very difficult medrash to even understand what it's talking about. There are some that have a minhag to only say Kiddush in the sukkah. So I saw in this new sefer that came out, beautiful sefer called Sukkas Chayim, 2-volume sefer, everything you ever wanted to know or didn't want to know about sukkahs. Just fantastic encyclopedic work. So he has from the sefer Meir Einei Chachamim, I don't know who that is, but he quotes from the sefer Meir Einei Chachamim, a brilliant, creative yishuv for the minhag to only say Kiddush in the sukkah and not to eat in the sukkah. He says as follows. The halacha is, you only make a bracha in the sukkah when you eat a shir suda, right? If you only eat kezayis kebetza, you don't make a bracha on the yeshiva b'sukkah. It's only when you were to eat something, according to Rov Rishonim, it would only be if you eat something that's a substantial amount of food. The only thing is, when it's yantif, there are some Rishonim that hold that when it's yantif, even eating just a kezayis is enough to make it, to give it a sense of kviyas. When it's Shabbos or Yantif, the fact that you're eating that on Shabbos or Yantif, as your Shabbos or Yantif food, might give it a sense of kviyas. So he says, so we're stuck with the following problem. If on, he says, if when it comes to it's not only, so again, why do we not sleep in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, which we'll get to soon? It's because it would cause confusion it would be the same as we do the rest of the yantif. And you can't do things the same way you would do them the rest of the yantif. So he says, what are we supposed to do if you were to make kiddush in the sukkah, I'm sorry, if you were to eat and not just make kiddush in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres? The first kezayis or kebetza you eat, you have a chashash of bal tosif. Why? Because the first kezayis or kebetza, even without a bracha, well, guess what? The rest of the yantif, you didn't make a bracha on the kezayis or kebetza either. So it's going to look like the same as the rest of Yantif. So the first kazayis of beitza you eat, because we're choshish for the sheet of Tosus and the Rush, that on Yantif, a kazayis or kabeitza is mechuyiv besukkah, so the rest of Yantif, you were eating it in the sukkah, but not with a bracha, because you wouldn't make a bracha. You didn't want to be, because of the sveika didina, you didn't want to make a bracha on it. So it's going to be nearer kabal Tosuf as soon as you eat that first kazayis. Now the truth is, once you eat the rest of the meal, then it will be, and you wait kadeh svi, it will be evident that you weren't sitting there for the sake of the mitzvah, because then you should have made the bracha if it was for the sake of the mitzvah. So then the fact that you didn't make the bracha will be enough of a raya. But after you eat that first kazayis, before you eat the rest, it's not yet going to be recognizable. Once you eat that first kazayis, it could be that you're doing the same thing you would have done the rest of Yantif. And that's going to be a problem. And therefore, we only make the kiddush, and then you go inside so you could avoid anything being exactly like it is on the rest of Yantif. Okay, whatever. It's a creative interpretation. Couple of final words on this minhag before we move into some other related issues. All the typical poskim, the standard poskim that we follow, say davar pashut, you sit in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. Bikur Yaakov, the Aruch HaShulchan, they have long discussions. The Achronim, who were aware of the minhag not to sit in the sukkah, and were aware that a lot of Jews follow the minhag not to sit in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, they all quote that kol Achronim, kol poskim, that there's no question that you sit in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. That it's an afna gemara, and that's how we pass in halachos. All these yeshuvim are very difficult. None of them are really, really very viable to accept halacha lemaisa. Now, what do you do if your family minhag is to not sit in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres? So, I know Rabbi Simon used to advise people when I was in YU, and when I was in Rabbi Simon's year, my early admissions year, he used to tell guys, so what you do is just wash inside, wash, go out to the sukkah and have a hamotzi, make kiddush and hamotzi in the sukkah bench, and then come inside and eat whatever. You know, you could eat kugel, you could eat meat, just don't eat mizonos foods, don't eat, you know, you could have a whole meal inside with things that you're not really chayiv to eat in the sukkah anyway. And that way you'll hopefully make everybody happy. They'll make fun of you that you're going out to the sukkah or whatever, you know, for 2 minutes before, but at least it won't drive everybody crazy. You're not going to be sitting out there all alone. That's what he suggested. One could argue that if your entire family is not going to listen to you, and that the whole family is sitting inside and you're going to be sitting outside, so that might be a chisar in teshuva kentaduru, it might be a chisar in mitzdar. You come up with something but once you're at the stage where you're calling the shots, most of the poskim say that it's a no brainer that once you're calling the shots, once you're deciding on what your family is going to do, and you're not just a kid in the family, so then it seems like a pretty clear no brainer. But the thing that Rav Shechter likes to point out, b'shem the Rav, he says what you see from here is the power of a birchas mitzvah. It's printed in Nefesh HaRav, it's in the Maror Mekomos. You see the koach of a birchas mitzvah. Because here, what did Chazal do? They said, look, you still have the mitzvah, just don't make the bracha on the mitzvah. You still have to do the mitzvah, just don't make a bracha. And what happened to the mitzvah? Half of Klal Yisrael's mezalzel on the mitzvah. As soon as you take away the bracha, Klal Yisrael's mezalzel on the mitzvah. Mashal ma'ad avardome, someone is counting Sfiras HaOmer, and he forgets one night, he misses one night. So because it's machlokas rishonim, whether he's still chayiv in sfira, so the halacha is, you still count, but you don't make a bracha. What do 90% of the people do? They stop counting. Ah, I missed it, I blew it. So counting stops. You take away the birchas mitzvah, and it has such a profound impact on the way people view the mitzvah. Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva, Nigros Moshe Chelek Aleph Simen Yud, someone asked him about waking up really early, if you have to go out to work very early, can you put on tefillin a little bit early without a bracha, you know, maybe because it's still in the Suffolk area, and Rav Moshe says, never advise somebody to put on tefillin without a bracha on a regular basis. Because if you advise somebody to put on tefillin without a bracha on a regular basis, the person is going to stop doing the mitzvah of tefillin. Because it's just he's not going to take tefillin seriously. Anytime you rob them of the birchas mitzvah, you take away the whole nature, the whole feeling of the mitzvah. Rav David Willig had a hosafa, and he just said that part of this is the, I'm pointing to where he sits, he's not actually there, but part of this is that we find that people completely misunderstand the whole mitzvah of sukkah, probably also based on the bracha. When do we make the bracha? When we eat. We don't make a bracha when we sleep. We don't make a bracha when we go to learn in the sukkah, only when we eat in the sukkah. So how do most Jews view the mitzvah of sukkah? That I live in my house, and I go to the sukkah if I'm hungry. I go to the sukkah when I need to eat. It's a whole corruption of the entire mitzvah. The mitzvah is besukkah teshuva. The mitzvah is to live in the sukkah. It means you come home from shacharis in the morning, go straight to the sukkah. You don't go hang out in your house until you're hungry and you want to eat something. You live in the sukkah. That's where you really live. All your stuff is in the sukkah. You want to be on the computer? It's in the sukkah. Bring your laptop out to the sukkah. That's what we do everything. You want to learn? You learn in the sukkah, whatever it might be. Learning is a different sukkah. It's a sukkah, misach sukkah. It might be a little bit different. But all the things that you want to do, you do in the sukkah. Okay, so that's the power, the koach of a birchas mitzvah. What happened? When I was in Eretz Yisrael for the years, when I was in Keren B'Yavneh, I remember I went to a friend's house for the last days, and we were invited out for meals, and one of the people we were invited out to says, we eat Shemini Atzeres in the apartment, we're not going to go into a sukkah. So we asked him, the guy was a Talmud Chacham, we said, why? We're Bnei Chutz Laretz, we're keeping 2 days, so if we're Bnei Chutz Laretz, we're keeping 2 days, Sveika D'Yoma, shouldn't we also have to eat in the sukkah? So he said, no, Minig Yerushalayim is that we don't allow anyone to eat in the sukkah on Shemini Atzeres. Even if you're Ben Chutz Laretz, even if you're keeping 2 days, that's Minig Yerushalayim, that's what Shlomo Zalman Arbach Paskind. So I didn't know any of the Mar Makomos at the time. It happens to be that the Deborah Tziner and Rav Yashiv was quoted as saying that you should sit in the sukkah. If it's Sveika D'Yoma for you and you're Ben Chutz Laretz, you keep 2 days. If you keep 2 days, so you keep 2 days when you in regards to the sukkah as well, and you should sit in the sukkah on Shemini Atzeres. But he was correct. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and the Minchas Yitzchak Dayan Weiss both have tshuvas where they explain that they don't think you have to sit in the sukkah. In Minchas Shlomo Chelek Aleph Simin Yotes and Minchas Yitzchak Chelek Tes Simin and Dalid, they explain as follows. The idea of keeping 2 days in Eretz Yisrael in the first place is a machlokas. There is a famous sheet of the Chacham Tzvi that we're not really allowed to paskal like, but a famous sheet of the Chacham Tzvi that holds that when you're in Eretz Yisrael, even if you're Ben Chutz Laretz, you only keep 1 day Yantiv. Plus, you have people even when in Chutz Laretz that don't sit in the Sukkah on Shemini Atzeres. So you take the two sheetos we don't paskal like, you put them together, that's enough of a reason, at least when you're in Eretz Yisrael, not sit in the Sukkah. It's a very shvera. Normally, there's an idea called the snif lahakel, but that's normally not when you take two shitos that are totally dechuyos and completely rejected by all poskim. Rav Moshe, in his tshuvas about Yom Tov Sheni, he doesn't even quote the Chacham Tzvi. He doesn't even use it as a snif. He doesn't even think it's. He thinks it's so utterly rejected from halacha. And Rav Shlomo Zalman says that way also. He says, really, it's totally rejected by halacha, but over here we'll allow it because, it's farhesia, it's minagar, it's Yisrael, you're going to go and do something that's against what everybody else is doing. So he thinks that that's enough to allow one, at least on Shemini Atzeres, to sit in the house and not sit in the sukkah when they're visiting Eretz Yisrael. Rav Vadya says it depends. If you're going to a hotel or if you're going to family that live in Eretz Yisrael. If you're going to family that live in Eretz Yisrael and they're eating in the house, they're not going to sit in the sukkah, it's going to be baltosa for them. They're eating in the house. Right? So what would they have to do? If you wanted to sit in the sukkah, they'd have to set up two tables and the family would be split apart. Whereas if you go to a hotel, you sit in the sukkah. So you tell the hotel, serve you in the sukkah. They'll serve you in the sukkah. You're not splitting anybody. You're not, it's not any extra tiyukha for anybody. So Rav Vadya thinks that if you're going to be splitting up a family, so he thinks Teshuva came to do, it tells you that you're allowed to go and sit in the house in those situations. Because you don't have to split the family to have to trouble them to go through this tircha. And he thinks, at least based on Teshuva came to do, plus all the other sniff from Laka that we mentioned before, that in that situation, when a Ben Chutzar is visiting Eretz Yisrael, you could sit in the house. But otherwise, you should sit in the sukkah. So it's more of a compromise opinion. What about a Ben Eretz Yisrael is in Chutz Laretz? So Ben Eretz Yisrael in Chutz Laretz in Halicha Shlomo, he also has somewhat of a creative approach to this. If you look, he quotes in Halicha Shlomo from the son of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. This is in the end of source 37 from Rav Dov Auerbach, where he says Yesh Makom Lomar. He says there's room to say as follows: there is a sheet in the Gemara that says that Yesuve lo yasvina, that you don't even sit in the sukkah on Shemini Atzeres. And the reason is because it's Tarti Desasri, that since you know a Yantif, you can't be sitting in the sukkah also. And since we're Bekiyin Bekviya Diyarcha, Lemaisa, it is Yantif, and sukkah is already over, and therefore you're part from sukkah. That's that Shita in the Gemara. Why do we sit in the sukkah? Because since we're going to be keeping Yom Tov Sheni the next day, it's going to be obvious by the fact that we're keeping Yom Tov Sheni the next day, that clearly we're only doing this because of Sveka D'Yoma. So therefore, it's not a zilzel to the Yantif. That's what we wanted to tie now. That since you're going to be observing Yantif the next day, so it's not going to be a zilzel to the Yantif to sit in the sukkah the first day, because you just wait it out and everyone will realize why you sat in the sukkah. So he says, this is going on the Ben Chutzlaretz in Eretz Yisrael still, rather. This isn't on the Ben Eretz Yisrael Chutzlaretz. So he says as follows. When a Ben Chutzlaretz is in Eretz Yisrael, is it so obvious that he's going to be keeping Yantif the second day? You know what might happen? He might be so inspired by living in Eretz Yisrael, by visiting Eretz Yisrael, that he's going to decide to stay. And then he's not going to end up keeping Yom Tov Sheni. And if he doesn't keep Yom Tov Sheni, it's never going to be a Glay Milsa L'Mafreya that this was just for Sveka D'Yoma. And then it would have been Usher for him to sit in Sukkah. Because he might decide to stay, which is a very interesting halakha question. What if you're visiting Sukkahs you're visiting Eretz Yisrael for Sukkahs or for Pesach, and on Yom Tov Sheni, in the middle of Yom Tov Sheni, you decide, I'm not going home. I'm staying. I'm making aliyah now. Do you put on tefillin? Do you do malacha? It's Rav Nassan Gestetner, Chubas Laharus Nassan, he writes that he had this shaila, that he came to Eretz Yisrael in the 1950s, and he just came for Yantif. He woke up the second day of Yantif, said, there's no way I'm going home. This is it. I'm here. And he was in Bnei Brak, and he went to the Chazon Ish, and he said, what should I do? So it's a very interesting shaila. Rosh Shlomo Zalman Aruch Shita is, yeah, you're a Ben Eretz Yisrael now. Forget it. It's not Yantif Sheni for you. So based on that, Rav Ram Dov Arbach thought that maybe you could say that then it's not going to be obvious that what you were really doing was Mishum Sveka D'Yoma, and therefore the Ben Chutz Laretz in Eretz Yisrael should sit in the Sukkah. Now, Ben Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz is a bit of a more complicated thing. Really, you generally conform to the whatever other people are doing, but since Lemaisa, and therefore really, he should sit in Sukkah if everyone else is sitting in Sukkah, because the Ben Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz has to go with the flow of what everyone else is doing. But since even in America, even in Chutz Laretz, half of the Jewish people do the wrong thing anyway, and they sit in the house, so it's not a lack of conformity for him to sit in the house. Right? So he says, so he can conform with what half the Jews are doing and go sit in the house. So that's why Rav Shlomo Zalman thought that's not a problem. Okay, sleeping in the sukkah we didn't get to, we ran out of time. It's all there in the Mar Makomos. You didn't need me to say this year. You have it all in front of you.
We don't.